So go over to 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 2. At kung meron kayong tanong na gusto nyong itanong patungkol sa Bible or sa espiritual na buhay, or meron kayong tanong na gusto nyong matuklasan ang biblical na sagot, feel free, no, na mag-email kayo at ilagay sa email yung tanong. Na nilalagay ko naman sa Facebook page yung address, yung email address. At mas maganda yon para maging communication, paraan ng communication yung email. Okay? Alright, so let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, and we're going to answer this question, and the question is, are women allowed to pastor, and are women allowed to preach in the assembly, in the church? So 1 Timothy chapter 2 is a pastoral epistle. And that just simply means that Paul instructed Timothy on how to behave in the house of God. There's a lot of pastoral teaching and guidance and rules and requirements and qualifications for the pastor. And we see that God's requirements and God's direction is totally opposite of the world. Okay? The world doesn't care about what the Bible teaches. The world, the system of the world, the society that is totally against God, the philosophy of the world, is contrary to the teaching of Scripture. And we're not interested. We are biblical. We believe the Bible. We're Bible believers. We preach out of the Bible. We look at the Bible. Every time we assemble, we gather, the cornerstone of our church is the Holy Scriptures. And so we go to the Bible and say, what does the Bible say about women pastoring or women preaching? You know, are they permitted in the Bible to do that? And so I don't think it's even a controversy. This not even a controversy. This is a, if you just simply read the Bible, you'll get your answer from the Lord. It's as simple as that. And there's no way you can turn the Scriptures around or make it say whatever you want it to say. No, we have to receive what the Scriptures say. The Scriptures have something it teaches us. It's instruction. It's profitable for reproof, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. It doesn't need corrected. We do not correct the Bible. We allow the Bible to correct us. We allow the Bible to teach us, to guide us, and what we just simply read it and follow the Bible. And so if you just do that, you will have no women preachers. No women preachers allowed. So let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, and I want to begin with men. I want to begin with men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. This is what the Bible says. I will, therefore, that men pray. This is the will of God. This is something that God desires for men in the church to be leaders, to take the headship of the home, and to steer their homes and to lead in the church. I will, verse 8, I will therefore, 1 Timothy 2, 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Now, in the Greek, there are two words for man. There's anthropos, which means generically humans or man. It's a generic word. Then there's a particular word for males, for men. I'm talking genderly, men, specifically males. And that word is andros. Andros. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8, the word for men is andros, specifically males. So I will therefore that males, the men, pray everywhere. Leadership in the home and in the church, and really it ought to be in society, biblical leadership resides in the headship of men. Why? Because of creation. And we'll look at that. That is mentioned over in verse number 13. Look at verse 13. For, here's the reason why leadership resides in the headship of man. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. So when God designed the world, when he created the world and established a manager, a steward over the garden, over all of creation, to have dominion over all the creatures, he created Adam to be the head. And so every man, every male, is really tasked, appointed by the Lord to be the leader in the church, to be the leader in the home, to be the head, to be the executor, the executive. He makes decisions. He leads. He prepares. He works to provide. And then he nurtures and he stands in the home, in the place of God. He is the prophet, the priest, and the king of the home. That's the man. That's what God wants. He doesn't want a man to follow the leadership of women or a woman. And that's not saying that he's chauvinist or that this is something that in society today, you know, the feminist movement has really created problems in society today. But that's because men has abdicated their authority and just would rather play than lead. They would rather be lazy and just work and provide, but not be the father of a home. And that is a sin against God. That is a sin against the Creator. God is the one who made you the head of the home. God is the one who made you to be the leaders of his assemblies. He doesn't want women in the position where they have to make executive choices and decisions. No, they're to be protected. They're to be loved, and they're to be helped along the way. They're to be assisted, sure. But God doesn't want them leading in the church and leading in the home. No. There's a role, biblical role, for men. And in verse 8 again, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8, I will therefore that men pray. So in the assembly, who is supposed to be the one leading in prayers? It's not women, it's the males. I want men to pray. So when we have church, we don't look for a lady or a woman to open in prayer. No. The scriptures tell us he wants men to pray. When we have offering time prayer, we don't ask a lady to stand up and lead in prayer for the offertory. We want men to pray, you see. when it comes to praying for the message or praying after the church, when we dismiss the church, we want men to lead. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands. Now that's a, that's the custom of the Jewish people back in the day. When they pray, they would lift up holy hands. But this is more than just the literal lifting up of hands. God wants holy lives. He doesn't want a man to stand up in church and pray, but he's not living holy lives. He doesn't have holy hands. We're not interested in hypocrites. Now, we're a church. Our church is not a big church, but it's an important church. Again, the size of the church doesn't really matter. What matters is that church in obedience to the Lord of glory. And we won't call on men to pray who are not serious about the Lord, okay? We call on men who love the Lord. We call on men who lead. We don't put men in leadership who don't show leadership, okay? A man is to be a leader be holy, lifting up holy hands. And so if you're not living for the Lord, you're not going to lead in the assembly. And you should. You should repent. You should confess your sin and become the man of God that God wants you to be in the assembly. And lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting, okay? Without wrath and doubting. So that's something that God requires of males, of the men, just from the word, andros, okay? Now, go over to verse number 9. Now he begins to teach Timothy about the requirements of women. And there are let me see here. There are prohibitions, and then there are advice that Paul, through the power of the Holy Spirit of God, so really the writer is Paul, but the author is the Holy Spirit of God. This is God's Word, okay? And so now he begins to show us some prohibitions for women in the church, in the assembly. Here's some. Verse number 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel. That's the first thing that women should be when they come to church. If they want to behave themselves in the house of God, in the pillar and ground of truth, the church of the living God, they ought to dress modestly. Modest apparel, the Bible says. You know, modest, ibig sabihin ng modest sa Tagalog, maayos yung pananamit ng mga babae. Huwag kayong magsuot ng mga damit na nakikita ang lahat. Yung sa taas, yung sa ilalim, yung legs. Hindi ho tama ang magpupunta ka sa simbahan at yung suot mo ay parang hindi angkop sa simbahan. All right? And so, clothing matters to the Lord. And modest clothing is something that God says you ought to adorn themselves in modest apparel. And not just in your clothes that you should glorify the Lord, but in your demeanor. Look at what it says. With shamefacedness and sobriety. So ano yung shamefacedness? Yan yung mahiyain. So God wants women to be feminine. God wants women to not be a tough and rough and tumble woman. That's not godly. He wants women to be women-like. Shamefacedness. That's mahiyain, no? May konting hiya. Hindi siya sumasabog, you know? Parang maingay. Yung yung magulo. And that's something that the Bible says right there, shamefacedness and sobriety. Anong ibig sabihin ng sobriety? May katinuan sa pag-iisip. May katinuan sa pag-iisip. So ayaw ng Panginoon na yung mga babae ng simbahan ay magulo. God doesn't want disorderly women who loud, obnoxious, not sober, not shamefacedness. There's pride in their look. God doesn't like that. There's even the hair. Look at what the Bible says, verse 9. Not with broided hair. Now, broided hair, ang ibig sabihin ng broided hair, ito yung nakatarintas na buhok. No? So, even sa Bible, sa kapanahunan ni Paul, yung mga babae, pag nag-ayos sila ng buhok nila, tinitirintas nila, hinahalo yan ng ginto, pilak, hinahalo yan ng mga kulay at whatever, at nagpapakita ng sobra-sobra sa buhok lang. Even in just the hair. God doesn't want women coming to the church looking like a Christmas tree. You shouldn't look like a Christmas tree or like the ultimate warrior when you come to church. You know, with makeup, thick, and just you look like a clown. Color hair, all that. No, God wants a decent, properly dressed woman, a lady in the church. Not with broided hair. They pay too much attention on the hair. Too much attention. And they draw people with that look, you know. God doesn't, we don't go to church to show people our clothes and our good looks and we're here to attract people. No, that's a pride. You know, look at me. Look what I'm wearing. I'm so fancy. I'm so sharp, you know, and all. I'm not against sharp. We ought to look sharp. We shouldn't look like a slob when we go to church. But God wants a women not to pay attention to the outward man, you see, attracting other people through the look. There's broided hair or gold or pearls. You know, don't, like I said, don't look like a Christmas tree. Don't deck yourself out with all this jewelry and fancy schmancy stuff. No, just be plain. Just be a godly woman. And wear your best for the Lord. And make sure you don't have costly array. Costly array. You shouldn't look like a peacock coming to church. Okay? You should look decent for the Lord. Dress for God. Dress for the Lord. And your heart will reflect what you should be on the outside. Okay? That's the most important thing. Now, verse 11. He goes on to instruct Timothy about women in the church. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. So here's the advice after telling Timothy, by the way, you ought to teach the women not to wear this, not to do this. Now I want you to teach them to do this. So what is this that they should be doing? Two things. They should learn in silence. That just means quiet. They're to be quiet in the church. Not just the women. Everyone should be quiet in the church. Every children ought to be quiet when they come to church. Now, if there can't be quiet in the church, especially a visitor, we understand. So what we do is we take them out of the church. And we we put them in a junior church program on the other room so that we can focus on the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. God doesn't want children to be unruly. getting up, going, using the bathroom in the middle of preaching. No, use the bathroom before the preaching. Use the bathroom after the preaching. Cell phones ought to be in silence, not just women, but and children. Cell phones, you know, beep, beep, beep during church. Shouldn't happen. Put it in silence or shut it off. You're not in church long. Maybe a couple hours, maybe an hour and a half, you know, depending on your whatever service you attend. You ought to attend every service. Nothing is more important than being silent in the church. Nothing is more important than listening to God, listening to the preaching and teaching of the scriptures. I tell my kids, the most important thing you can do in a church service is to listen. It's the most important thing you can do. More important than anything is listening and being in silence, in quietness. And so if women, and Timothy is to teach this to the women. You see, women, you're to be in silence. Okay? So if women are to be in silence, then who's supposed to be speaking in a church? Men, males, you see. And so it's an instruction. This is a command. This is not optional, you see. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. That means in submission, in obedience, and full obedience. And so God wants men to teach and preach, men to lead, and women to follow. That's what the Lord wants. And when a man doesn't lead and a woman doesn't follow, it will not work. It won't work in the home. It will not work in the church. It doesn't work in society. No, men should not abdicate their authority and their leadership and allow the women to take over. I'm sure they do a better job. That's no doubt in my mind. A woman could probably preach a whole lot better than men. I have no doubt they could say a lot of things and get their points across easily and clearly too. I have no doubt that their ability and their skill and their words are clear and sharp. But that is not biblical for a woman to take the place of authority. Pastoring is a position of authority in the local church. And a woman is not to do not to take the role of an authority figure in a local church. Now, that's verse 12. Look at verse 12. But I suffer not a woman to teach. So in the assembly, when there's men gathered and you have the full church, men, women, children, in the assembly, a woman is not permitted. It says, I suffer not. That means he doesn't permit. Suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority. That means to take authority over the man, but to be in silence. Again, to be quiet again. Okay, so can a woman pastor the church? No. That's clear. You have that right here. I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. You can't do that. It won't work. Now, I say you can't do that, and you have some churches that disobey the Lord, and they have a woman pastor. They're going to answer to God for that disobedience. And I don't believe that God would bless them. Of course, they can have numbers. And why a husband would want to hear a woman preacher when they have built-in counselor and preacher and the wife. Anyway, beyond me, I don't understand that, okay? But the point I'm making, and this is very, very important, God doesn't bless disobedience. God will not bless disobedience. So if a woman desires to pastor, she ought to change her desire. She ought to change her desire and desire to be a follower, desire to be a learner, desire to be a student, desire to be a helper. The power of a Christian woman is the position of service. That is where she flourishes. She's designed by the Lord to be a helper. That is the role that God designed a woman for. A man needs all the help he can get. He needs help. And without a woman, a man is nothing. You understand that? You see what I'm saying? I'm not saying that a woman has no value in the church. No, she's very, very valuable. In fact, who's more important in the church, the man or the woman? Well, the answer is both are important. You see? Who's more important? No one. They're equally important. Who is the head? Who is the leader? Now you have scripture here, and the answer is the man. Who is the help? Who is the assistant? Who is the follower? Who is the nurturer? Oh, that's the woman, okay, you see? She's there to help, to assist. She's not there to lead. Certainly not usurp authority. And pastoring, again, pastoring is the authority figure in a local church assembly. God appointed, in every assembly, He appoints one man to be the ordained preacher and teacher in a local church, in a local assembly, and all churches are local. And that's the pastor. Now, it goes on. I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Go over to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Paul wrote a letter to the church at Corinth, and the church at Corinth had problems because the spiritual gift of tongues was given to many of the church members at the church at Corinth. And some of them were abusing their spiritual gifts. They were using it in a wrong way, not at all edifying the church, not at all blessing the Lord. And so Paul, in his apostolic office, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, regulates the worship of the church in Corinth, church he planted, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and he echoes again the same instruction that he gave in 1 Timothy. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. Look at what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 34. Let your women keep silence in the churches. So this is an instruction from the Bible. Women are to be silent in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. Now, this is talking about speaking in tongues. This is talking about prophesying. Of course, tongues are gone. Tongues are done away with. There was a time when tongues was used by the Lord. There will come a time in the future when tongues again will return. But in the middle, in between, in our time, when the Bible is completed, no further revelation is coming from heaven anymore through the gift of tongues. That has ceased, according to the Bible. But during the time of the Corinthian church, they had the spiritual gift of tongues, and there were apparently some women that wanted to speak in the assembly and become an authoritative figure and speak and usurp authority. And so here Paul is saying, let the women keep silence in the churches. It is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Oh, what law is he talking about that tells the woman to be in subjection, to be silent and in subjection? He's talking about the law of Moses way back in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse number 16. Let's look at that. Genesis chapter 3. So Paul is referencing here the creation and the fall. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. This is the law that Paul was saying. Hey, ladies are to be silenced in the church, are not permitted to speak, just like it says in the Old Testament, in the law. Here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 16. Look at Genesis chapter 3 verse 16. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And so part of the order of God is that the husband is the leader. The husband takes the role of leadership in the church. And the woman is to be under obedience, as says in the law. back to 1 Corinthians. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 35. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 35. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home. For it is a shame for a woman to speak in the church. It's a shame for a woman to be the one to get up and preach the word of God. No, that's not going to happen. So when the preaching of the word of God is taking place, everyone is silent. Including the women, yes, of course, the women. Especially the women, they cannot be the one preaching, teaching, leading, pastoring. They're to be in subjection. And that's the responsibility of the pastor to teach this. How would a woman know? How would they know if they're not instructed and taught and shown the scriptures, you see? But if they are instructed and taught and shown the scriptures, you know what a godly woman will do? She receives the word of God with meekness and joy, and she follows the Lord. Just like any godly man would do. A godly man sitting in the church will say, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be the head. And he receives the word of God, and he allows the word of God to change him. Husbands and wives, how would they know how to function in the home without biblical teaching and preaching? That's why it's so important to be in church. So if the home is not what it should be, it's because the pastor is not preaching what he should be preaching. Again, I don't blame the home. I blame the preacher who doesn't expound and teach and show and explain biblical truth. Because how will people know if they're not in the Word of God? And if they're not in a biblical church? You go to a church that allows the woman to preach and teach in a mixed assembly, you will not hear the truth of the Word of God. You're not going to get anything from the Lord. I'll guarantee you that. It's in violation to the preaching and teaching of the Holy Scriptures and the Holy Spirit who lords over the church. This is the administrator of the church. These are his words. We have no right to change it. We have no right to bring in our philosophy and rearrange things and just because we disagree with the scriptures. No, we do not correct the Bible. We allow the Bible to correct us. And we'll be blessed of the Lord if we follow him rather than following our hearts. Anyway. So now, there's a reason why God doesn't want a woman or women to be in the leadership position. Go back to 1 Timothy as we wrap it up, as we conclude. Go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. verse number 13, actually. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Verse 14, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. And so Adam was the one who got appointed. And by the way, when God instructed them not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, guess who God spoke to? He didn't speak to Eve. He spoke to Adam. Why? Because God intends for the man to protect his home, to lead the home. It wasn't Eve's job to secure the home, to protect the home from the serpent, from the devil. That was Adam's responsibility. So yes, Eve was deceived. Sure, she was deceived, but the guilt is on Adam, because Adam was tasked by the Lord to be the head, to be the protector. Verse number 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. This is talking about the messianic promise of the seed promise. God gave salvation through the Messiah, as the virgin would give birth to the Messiah, the Savior of the world. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christmas because we celebrate the coming of the Messiah, the incarnation, the God manifest in the flesh through the virgin birth of Mary. So women have a part in the salvation through childbearing, because of the seed promise that was given to us in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, the seed of the woman. Interesting that the Bible says seed of the woman, not seed of the man, but seed of the woman. And so God, Eve was deceived, but at the same time, through faith and charity and holiness with sobriety, women bring into this life the seed promise of Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And so God honors the women by that act of obedience. And in salvation, a woman and a man are equal in salvation. When a man is saved, he is not more saved than his wife. No, when a man is saved, he's saved. When a woman is saved, she's saved. She's not less saved. She's not more saved. She's saved. Men and women are one in Christ. There is no distinction between male and female in Christ. Spiritually speaking, when a person is saved, they're equal. In salvation, in spiritual position, they're equal. But in the home and in the assembly, in the church, really in all, in God's world, He appointed the man to be the head, and He appointed the women to be the help. And that's how it works. There's harmony. You know what a harmony is? You have one note, top note, and you have a bottom note. And when you play the two, they sound nice because you have a top note and a bottom note. There's harmony. Now, if you want discord, there can be discord. It's when the bottom note doesn't know where the note is, or the top note doesn't know where that note goes, and it sounds like a clash. That's discord. And so, in the home, in the church, if a man doesn't know to be the leader, that's going to cause a problem in the home. if the wife assumes the role of leader, that's going to cause a problem in the home. And if a man, if a woman fulfills her role as a help and the man fulfills his role as a head, then there will be harmony. And so in the church, it's the same thing with the church. If the pastor permits the woman to preach and teach in the assembly, oh my, there'll be discord. There'll be discord. And it is a violation of the word. Now, a woman can teach and proclaim the word of God to children in the church. We see that. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. Titus chapter 2, verse 4. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 4. Let's look at verse 3. Verse 3. Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. So the aged women are to be teachers of good things to who? Verse number 4. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands and to love their children. So there is a place for a woman to teach other women, younger women, that's fine. Even children, they can guide children. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14. I will therefore that younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. So a woman can guide her house. She can guide her children. If she has a Sunday school full of children, she's more than welcome to take the word of God and to guide the children in the word, teach them in the word of God. That's fine. But when it comes to the assembly, where you have men in the presence, in the assembly, women are to be in silence, according to the scripture. So that's clear. I hope this lesson here is clear. And it's amazing when you're a biblicist, when you believe the Bible, and you look at the world, how the world does their own thing, and it doesn't work. It flops, okay? But when you obey the Bible, you flourish. There's great blessings in obedience to the Word. And so it's so important to be in a biblical church where the pastor preaches all the counsel of God, the truth of the Word of God, because that's the only way a Christian will learn to behave themselves in the house of the living God. How else are they going to hear the truth if the man of God doesn't preach the Word of God? This is why society is crumbling. Why is society crumbling before our eyes? It's crumbling because men are not preaching the entire counsel of God. That's why. Pastors are afraid. Pastors are timid. Pastors don't take serious the study and proclamation of the truth of the Word of God. And as a result, men don't know how to be men. Women don't know how to be women. Children are not in subjection. And you have total destruction all around. So important to believe the Bible, to proclaim it, and to stand for it, and to flourish in it. The Lord will bless His Word. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us then. Father in heaven, we thank You, because we would be ignorant about these truths if You never revealed it to us in Your Word. Help us to receive it with meekness, Lord. Help us to receive the engrafted Word, which is able to deliver us, able to save our souls, able to give us instruction, doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, Lord. Help us to labor in the Word of God. help pastors to proclaim the Word of God and to have faith that the Holy Spirit of God will do the work. Help the people who listen to the Word of God to apply the truths of Scripture in their lives, that they could flourish in the Word of God and have your blessings in our homes and in our churches, Lord. We ask that you would be glorified, Lord, and take your word and apply it. We would apply it to our lives. We love you. We thank you for the truths. Help us to live up to it, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, God bless you. Thank you for listening. Huwag kalimutan, this Sunday is our modified GCQ Sunday School ng mga bata. So, maaga tayo, no? 9 o'clock para sa mga bata. And